Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
As the federal official on Free Talk Live, I'm sure you got the memo from Jeff Sessions earlier today.
No, I did not get that one, but I did see some interesting headlines.
Yes, that's because you're not a U.S. attorney. Apparently, the memo, according to the Washington Post, was sent to U.S. attorneys on Thursday by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has decided to rescind several Obama-era directives that discouraged enforcement of federal cannabis laws in states that had legalized the substance. In the memo, Sessions noted that federal law prohibits the possession and sale of cannabis, and he undid several previous Obama administration memos that advised against bringing cannabis prosecutions in states where it was legal for recreational or medical purposes. Sessions said prosecutors should use their own discretion, taking into consideration the department's limited resources, the seriousness of the crime, and the deterrent effect that they could impose in weighing whether charges were appropriate. So, what are your thoughts here? So, he's saying, remember, attorneys, it's against the law at the federal level, but use your discretion. Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado said on Twitter, the move directly contradicts what Attorney General Sessions told me prior to his confirmation, and he threatened to impede the nomination of the DOJ leader in response. Now, one thing that's interesting, and I'm no longer reading from the article here for a moment, is that California, just 4 days ago, became, what was it, the sixth state to open up with legal recreational sales?
I haven't kept count, but
which
sounds
means
about
that
right.
Now approximately one in every five Americans lives in a state where they can go, as long as they're over the age of 21, they can go purchase cannabis from a recreational shop somewhere in their state.
Right.
Might not be right down the road, but somewhere in the state where they live. And then that's not even counting all the people that live, say, oh, I don't know, within an hour's drive of the state border of one of the states that has taxed and regulated cannabis.
And I'd imagine that there may be some, maybe a large number of border towns that might have dispensaries or things like that, too. If a bad federal law is just not enforced, you're doing everybody in the country a service. That's a good thing. So prosecutors that are too busy to waste your time chasing down people for smoking a frickin' joint compared to people that are out there, murders and rapes. How many unsolved, untested rape kits are there in the United States? We've covered this a couple times.
I don't know if they actually have a number.
It's we've heard reports of like hundreds and thousands of rape test kits that are known of that are just in queue, which means that there's a violent crime that is going unsolved.
Correct.
Yeah, prosecutors and cops running around looking for some frickin' high school kid who's got a pipe in his car. It's insanity. So please just don't listen to Mr. Sessions and use your discretion, which I hope is common sense.
See, what would have made more sense was to just not release a new memo and leave the Cole memo in place. Local leaders had long criticized Sessions' stance on cannabis, and even President Trump had stated on the campaign trail in 2016 that he believed the matter should be left up to the states.
There you go. That's a start. That the whole thing just needs to get off of a federal drug schedule. It needs to be treated like a plant, not the way it's treated right now, which is as addictive as and with no redeeming qualities, including medical reasons, as much as heroin.
Right. And
even
though there are, I believe, four patients still on a federal program for receiving medical cannabis every month, 42 states to some degree have some level of what's referred to as therapeutic cannabis meaning that either you can get a card saying, I am a patient, a doctor has prescribed this, or you can make what's called an affirmative defense.
Right.
To where in some states, if you are found in possession of small amounts of cannabis, you can then at trial say, I am using this to treat fill-in-the-blank symptom. And then it's up to the judge or the jury whether to believe that or not, but it is an allowed defense. The article does mention there are 93 U.S. attorneys across the country, and, well, only 46 of those spots are currently filled under the Trump administration. That's because, you know, when a new president comes in, they wind up asking all of the previous attorneys to wind up resigning.
Some presidents.
They can, well, it's been a standard operating procedure the last several administrations.
Has
to
wipe the slate clean?
Yes. Ask all. Wow. Generally, I think Bush and Obama both wound up asking them to resign once their replacement had been confirmed. But there's always, you know, we want our new people in. But there have been a couple of presidents over the last several that just wound up saying, nope, all of you leave today, and I'm putting my own people in, and they get in when they get in. 46 of those 93 positions currently filled. 58 people have been nominated. Sessions placed 17 more people into interim positions recently in Nevada, Colorado, and Washington, all states where cannabis is legal.
When you look at the way that hemp was outlawed, it was outlawed by the famous dirty publisher, William Randolph Hearst.
He had a hand in it. Yep.
Yeah, and if you know about Hearst, he helped create the Spanish-American War. And when he did it, he was rewarded by giving vast forests in the Philippines, in Mexico, and all of the lands that the Spanish-American War, you know, freed, so to speak. He was happy to take land grants for his part in stirring up the war.
Right.
And he was
for people that don't know, he was pretty much the propaganda arm of that early progressive era.
Teddy Roosevelt. Isn't he the guy that they came up with the term yellow journalism to basically describe? Yeah.
Yeah, they made it about him because he was, and this kind of explains it as hemp.
Right.
You know, hemp paper, if you know, the Constitution is written on hemp paper. Hemp paper has low acid in it, and it'll last for hundreds of years. Low acid paper doesn't deteriorate, but high acid paper made out of trees does deteriorate.
For those of you new to the concept of mining cryptocurrencies, electricity is number one ingredient. You can't really do it without it. Technically, you can do mining on paper. It is solving mathematical problems. It will take you years or decades to mine.
Okay, but
still, you can transact.
If I sit there and I figure out the math problem, I can't just like raise my hand and say, teacher, I've got the answer here.
Right.
It's got to somehow get
it will be a solved.
Translated
it will be solved. It can be proven to be solved. It is math. That is what cryptocurrency is. It's all about the numbers.
Right, but it also requires computers that are connected to other computers that can verify that math.
Or time. You can use tools to do it very quickly, or as quickly as you possibly can. But if you
jot down an answer on a piece of paper, you're not going to be able to just shove that piece of paper into the Bitcoin node or the Petro node or the Dash node.
I understand what you're saying. Please understand what I'm saying. Anything that a computer can do, you can do on paper when we're talking about math.
To answer your question, are we a nation of laws? Yes, we are a nation of laws, but sometimes the federal government oversteps their bounds. And in the marijuana issue, according to my constitution that I read, the federal government has no right, according to Article 1, Section 8, to talk about anything, make any drug laws.
I agree.
But the real question I called to ask, in November, the New Hampshire Senate passed a bill for school choice, and that would give the average person from a parent from New Hampshire about $3,000 for the school of their choice. I cannot find any information if it made it to the, made it out of the House or the Governor.
I believe you're talking about Senate Bill 193 that did wind up, what was it, 2 days ago, I think, passing through the State House. But then the bill has to be sent over to the Finance Committee for something. So there's still a couple more procedural votes before. And if it comes out of the House different than it came out of the Senate, it will go back to the Senate for the Senate to then wind up saying, we agree with these changes or we don't agree. And if they don't agree, then it goes to something called a Committee of Conference. So there are still some procedural things that need to happen before it can go to the governor.
I don't have any real skin in the game. Necessarily, it's just I don't have a complex comment to say. Just I kind of lost my train of thought. I was going to say something before. Oh, but anyways, reality check: Trump didn't campaign on the cracking down on these marijuana laws. The vast, the vast majority of Trump supporters don't view pot as a dangerous. Everybody, but it's just Trump supporters alone. There's a dangerous drug. It's something that needs to be cracked down upon. Where does this Sessions character even in 2018 get this mandate or think he gets this mandate to crack down on marijuana? Because, I mean, the vast majority of the people, I mean, think the laws are way out of skew from just reality.
Right.
We all know.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point. You say, you know, you can't say the vast majority of Trump supporters. Well, I think we can when we look at the polling nationwide on whether you think marijuana should be allowed for medicinal use or for personal use or things like that. It's an overwhelming majority. The numbers are way up there, and Trump couldn't have won without those. And furthermore, as the article pointed out, Trump said, I think the best thing to do is leave it up to the states.
Apparently the world has ended in Oregon because gas pumps?
Oh, man. I remember this growing up, and basically, as long as I've been alive, and I had to Google it and find out when this started, in 1951, there were some laws passed, and it was a number of laws, but the primary one that got this thing going was a law that said that in the state of Oregon, no one who was not properly trained in the operation of a gas pump could pump gas into a container or into an automobile. And this week, Oregon has actually taken steps to repeal part of that law. And this story comes to us from the Washington Post.
All right. So before we get into the story, I'm just going to wind up guessing that they repealed the law saying that you are not allowed to pump your own gas. Everything has to be a full-service gas station. The law goes into effect on January 1st because that's generally when laws go into effect. And everything all of a sudden at 12:01 a.m. turned into a self-serve gas station, and there's nobody there to offer any kind of assistance to anybody on how to pump gas.
Former gas pumpers, you know, will pump gas for food. There is some mandate requiring that gas stations do continue to have gas pumpers, so we'll talk a little bit about that.
Do they also have elevator operators in Oregon?
I don't know. But
Do they still have pin boys at the bowling alleys?
I think if you really want to get into all that, I think you would want to look to the city of Portland and that area and dig into their municipal laws and regulations. I think you'd find some really crazy stuff. That's just a guess. But the internet machine roared, fueled by a local TV station's now viral Facebook post asking how people were reacting. And here are a couple quotes from that. Quote, I don't even know how to pump gas. I'm 62, a native Oregonian. I say no thanks. I don't like the smell of gasoline, the woman wrote on KTVL's Facebook post. The next one, no, disabled seniors, people with young children in the car need help. Not to mention getting out of your car with transients around and not feeling safe.
Transients.
This is a very bad idea. Grr. Self-service pumps are not new to Oregon. In at least one rural community, co-op members are issued cards that allow them to pump their own gas any time of day. And I brought this up with Ian. In my hometown, you know, a town of literally 100 people in the town and 360 within 36 square miles. not talking about a big community.
Right.
Somebody had the bright idea after waiting in line for hours of their lives at the one gas station waiting on the guy to pump their gas, that what if I open a key lock gas station? So in other words, what it basically means is if you joined this, I think you had sort of a membership program, you would be assigned a key that you would then use, and then you would be charged for the gasoline that you used from his key lock system. So, yeah, people would, some would choose that. Another thing is in a lot of these rural areas.
Is this basically the gas pumping equivalent of, we're saying everybody's an entertainer tonight, which means you can smoke at the bar because entertainers are exempt from the smoking indoor requirement laws in some places.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of the people.
You join a membership and then we're not selling you a beer.
Right.
We're, you know, just filling up your cup with something because you're a member. You own a portion of this cow. You own 1/10 of the cow. I'm not selling you raw milk. You are picking up your share of the raw milk.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. This is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Thomas Downs, who owns a small restaurant and gas station in Harney County. Harney County is larger than the state of New Hampshire. That's one county in Oregon.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's one state. And other states have huge states, too. In Southeast Oregon, testified during a committee hearing last year that the bill will allow him to focus on other services his business provides. He said he is the only reliable source of fuel within 85 miles, meaning his staff sometimes gets swamped. Our experience after almost 13 years is that the out-of-state residents are very capable of dispensing their own fuel. The majority of Oregonians delight in being able to if we are swamped. Dan Jones, who operates a Chevron station in Malheur County, it's close to the size of Harney County in eastern Oregon, said that the law would have no economic impact on his business and would allow him to promote from within. Disability Rights Oregon, however, raises concerns that the law would have unintended consequences for people with disabilities in rural counties.
All right, so let's pause right there.
Sure.
And based on the definition that they have there of rural county, we may or may not live in a rural county. But I have noticed...
This is rural for around here.
Right, but I've noticed that there are gas stations around here that have signs on the gas pumps that say, you know, if you're disabled, honk for assistance.
Right, right.
Or push this button.
Right.
Or something. And then an attendant, somebody that works at the gas station, will come out and help you. The Miami Herald says that economists are saying Venezuelan inflation could reach 30,000%.
That's a lot of inflation.
Yes. Yes, it is. Getting into the story, Venezuelans already facing unprecedented hardships will suffer even more difficult times in 2018 as hyperinflation could easily spike past the 30% mark, according to economists.
So might this be a good time for a short little economics lesson for people hear about inflation and
sure.
You remember last year when you paid like $1.50 for some eggnog, and this year you paid $2 and it's kind of struck you that price went up, or you know what I mean?
Well,
a lot of people think
that's inflation, right? The price went up, so that's inflation.
Right. And that's what most people think. They think
that's why we need to fight for 15.
Yeah. But most people do think that, well, you know, if it costs more now to do that, and, you know, wages are going up, so I guess, you know, now a loaf of bread does cost $2.99. A year ago, it was $1.99. Well, that is not the cause of inflation, is generally not the increasing cost of production of products. What the cause of inflation is the decreased purchasing power of your money. The fact that everybody should realize is that since the Federal Reserve came into existence in 1913, the U.S. dollar has lost over 98% of its purchasing power. And that's
staggering.
Right.
And if you read the website for the Federal Reserve, it says on the website that the purpose of the Federal Reserve is to maintain inflation.
Yes.
To maintain, not to prevent it.
No.
Not to keep it under control.
There is a...
To maintain inflation.
A healthy level, they say. And basically you have a school of economic thought, the Keynesian school.
Yeah, you need like 1-3% every year. Otherwise, you're going into deflation, and that's horrible because then everybody winds up being poor, and that's how we had the Great Depression.
Right. The argument of the Keynesians is basically that you need to keep introducing new money in so you can build up new credit, because credit is what can fuel an economy
and
to grow
into
expansion.
And we need to break some windows.
and there are competing
schools.
You
got to crack a few eggs to wind up making an omelet, and you crack the eggs, and then you've got to go find the egg farmer guy and buy more eggs. 128,446.
Well, you threw out a number, Daryl. You're going to explain what that might be?
Oh, yes. Yes, I will. That is the black market exchange rate between the Venezuelan Bolivar Fuerte and the U.S. dollar.
That's interesting. So the U.S. dollar is doing well against at least one world currency.
Yes.
A story I brought in, but we've never talked about on the air, has been that 2017, the dollar has performed its worst against most other foreign currencies. It's been the worst year for the dollar since 2003. So the dollar has definitely been in a decline, not to mention all the dollars that have been flowing into cryptocurrencies and other non-dollar based assets.
Guerrero says comparing 2017 to 2018, it could grow by 35 to 40 times. That would put inflation at between 105,000% and 120,000%.
Unreal.
Although these calculations may seem outrageous, Venezuela would still fall far short of the hyperinflation mark set by Hungary in 1945, Yugoslavia in 1992, and Zimbabwe in 2007. Those countries saw inflation rates double from one day to the next. Steve Hanke, professor of applied economics at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, said any attempt to make predictions in a hyperinflationary setting like Venezuela's would be useless.
Right.
Once inflation hits those levels, we simply can't predict how much higher it will go.
And that's where in other countries you've seen people demanding their pay at the end of the day or at the end of an hour because they're not sure what the rate's going to be at a later time.
Right. And, this article here from the Miami Herald linked off of, or rather it was linked to from another article that I was hoping this would actually wind up covering, but it does not, that apparently some Venezuelans, and Chris, you've got an article about this, some Venezuelans are attempting to use gold and diamonds to pay for medical care.
I could care less how poorly the Venezuelan government is doing.
That means you could care.
Thank you, Daryl, for correcting that obvious faux pas. But I care about the Venezuelan people.
Right.
I want to see the Venezuelan government starve itself. I want to see them just collapse upon themselves and let some freedom come back into that country. It's insanity.
Right. But
everything
one of the
that
problems
goes, I know people are dependent upon the government.
Is that every time something bad happens in Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro winds up putting more things under control of that Venezuelan central government that has caused so many problems.
I get it. But I hope that as this goes on and as the internet is now out there and the Venezuelan people can read and see, and I hope that some English-speaking Venezuelans listen to our show because we broadcast over the internet. Are we on, do we have any satellite feeds to South America?
The satellite feed that we have is North and Central.
North and Central, so we probably don't reach down as far as Venezuela.
No.
But if you know anyone in Venezuela, please pass on information about the show. I hope the people there educate themselves and understand that if they want to keep living under this, just do what you're doing. If you want to make a change, then it's going to be a hard decision to make. But at some point, it's going to be life or death.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.